We just spoke with two teens about a project that documents the lives of children lost to gun violence in 2018. Now we turn to the lasting effects that children who survive gun violence and other traumatic experiences face. According to the National Survey of Children's Exposure to Violence from a decade ago, nearly half of children and teens in the U.S. had been assaulted in the last year. 1 in 10 were physically or emotionally assaulted. 1 in 16 were sexually abused. Many children experience trauma on a host of different levels. That trauma can come into sharp relief in a school setting, damaging relationships and the ability to learn. Now there are increasing efforts to take trauma into account in the classroom. Here to talk with us about how trauma has impacted behavior and academics in schools in Rochester, New York, are Paul Clark and Nalika Murray Fields of the Center for Youth Services. Welcome to you both.
How are you?
How are you?
Good, thank you. Those are some pretty awful statistics that I just went through. How does exposure to violence or abuse affect children and teens in school?
Oh, it affects them tremendously. They bring in these struggles that they have in the community into school. And for our young people, especially at the elementary school level, they really don't have the skills and the know-how to control those feelings.
Let's be clear. When we're talking about trauma, what exactly are we talking about?
So trauma has so many faces. So we have young people that trauma may look like a house fire, and they may have just lost everything they own. Mm-hmm. We have trauma that looks like I'm removed from the family. It may be I have a sibling that's incarcerated, or a family member, a parent even. We also have kids that are just exposed to violence, whether it's abuse in the home or they're witnessing it out. So it has so many faces and so many ages and is expressed in so many different ways in our young people.
Rochester is one of a few school districts in the country that are taking a trauma-informed approach to teaching. Nalika, you do this work day to day and day in and day out in a school. What does that look like, you know, actually there in the school?
It looks many different ways in the school. It may be students just running out of class, walking out of class, having explosions where they're cursing and angry, and some kids get really withdrawn. So that's why it's great to have an adult in the building so that kids have a safe place to come and talk and just kind of process some of the things that they're going through, a lot of which come from outside of the school that is just brought in because that's where they go 5 days a week.
You have them process this not just verbally, but physically, right?
Absolutely. So we incorporate a lot of fidget toys because, you know, they're anxious. Maybe they just need to fidget. It's extremely tough conversations for kids to go through, and they're trying to match verbally these feelings with words, and sometimes that's just a great way to do it. We do a lot of restorative circles to process it and have restorative conversations as well.
Can you give us an example of an individual who experienced some kind of trauma and then how you were able to use these tools to reach them and reach the trauma?
So last week, I mean, I feel like we deal with this all the time, but last week we had a fifth grader and he was removed from home and kept running out of class throughout the day saying that his mom was coming to see him. He was in foster care. That was not the case, but he was just running in and out of the classroom just thinking that, hey, mom is coming. So the best thing to do as opposed to trying to force a child into an academic setting that they're obviously not prepared to be in is for them to come down and we have a conversation about how are you feeling? How is this affecting you? And we give them a voice. What do you want to see happen right now? How can we support you? So those are the kind of questions we process. And then also, if skills are necessary, then we talk about, okay, so I know you're upset or you're feeling frustrated. What are some ways that we can kind of channel it in a positive way? And we kind of talk to the kids, give them a voice, and have him kind of figure out what is going to work for me. For that particular child, he just needed breaks to walk throughout the day. So that's what we did to support him.
Paul, do we have any sense, any numbers yet to tell us if there's been a reduction in violence in Rochester schools?
We definitely do. We work in a number of schools within the Rochester City School District. We're in about 21 of those schools. One school in particular that is a kindergarten through eighth grade school has the supports in the school that what we call a social-emotional support continuum. So we have staff from the Center for Youth in conjunction and collaboration with the Rochester City School District that provides services from 7 in the morning to 7 at night. But in this particular school, and I'll give you a comparison from last year to this year. Last year, at this time, there was 154 short-term suspensions out of school. Currently, this year, there's only 32. Last year, there was 12 long-term suspensions, so that's a pretty serious offense to be suspended more than 5 days. Currently, this year, there's absolutely none. So it does work. But again, this is relationship-based. This is trauma-informed care, restorative practices, and it works.
I'm wondering, in terms of getting this sort of system in place in other places, what are the obstacles? What's in the way of getting this out in schools all over the place?
One of the biggest ones is right now is the funding. And with many of the school districts' budgets being looked at very carefully and slashed universally through New York State, there is a funding issue. However, we as a community agency cannot rely solely on school districts to fund this type of service. So I'm speaking for the Center for Youth. We want to make sure that our young people are getting these services, and we will look at other funding streams in order to bring this service to school districts.
And I also think the other part of it, too, is, as you know, in Rochester, especially the Rochester City School District, graduation rates are really, really important. So sometimes we're competing for those school hours. And, you know, kids who are in trauma, it's hard to learn. So we're trying to kind of walk this balancing act, trying to figure out, hey, do we remove them from class for this socio-emotional need that needs to be met? Do we leave them in class? What does that look like? So I think that's one of the day-to-day things that we try and figure out, what is best for this child in this moment? Do they need to be in the academic setting? Or are they not going to be able to learn? Do we need to have them come and sit with a caring adult?
Paul Nalika, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Paul Clark and Nalika Murray-Fields of the Center for Youth Services in Rochester, New York.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.